Next on the old mold, Denise Morris. She talks about the Buy America campaign and is it good for working class people?
Like Right to Work, Buy American has a pretty good ring to it. Both sound like programs that ensure the working class will benefit and thrive. In fact, many in union leadership believe broadening Buy American regulations is the path to prosperity and understand it to be a patriotic fair trade value. Quote, the Buy American and Hire American executive order could help jumpstart an investment in domestic production that would employ U.S. workers and boost the economy at the same time. It outlines federal procurement policies that focus on utilizing goods, products, and materials made in this country. Most importantly, it directs federal agencies to reduce the use of waivers and exemptions that have allowed them to bypass Buy American laws up until now. This is from a June 2017 Huffington Post editorial co-signed by union presidents representing Teamsters, auto workers, and machinists, and aerospace workers. It was this past April 2017 when Trump signed his executive order to Buy American and Hire American. Reporters from New Yorker and Forbes magazine called the executive order puzzling and a lot of smoke and mirrors. At the same time, union leadership said, quote, we hope the administration and the Congress will work together to strengthen Buy American laws and regulations. Fast forward to August 2017, and we see AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka quit Donald Trump's business council, not because he questioned the value of Buy American, but because, quote, it has become clear that President Trump has no intention of following through on his commitments to working people. More worrisome, his actions and rhetoric threaten to leave America worse off and more divided. It is for these reasons that I resigned yesterday from the President's Manufacturing Council. And in fact, the council was disbanded after a string of resignations. Is Buy American good for the working class in the U.S.? Chris Brooks, writing for Labor Notes, interviewed Dana Frank, history professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and author of Buy American, The Untold Story of Economic Nationalism, about the history and impact of these campaigns. Responding to Trump's recent executive order and its likely impact, Dana Frank explains, you can see Trump here playing the anti-immigrant card, trying to turn working people in the U.S. against immigrants so we won't point the finger at plutocrats like Trump and his cabinet. The nationalism of his slogans play right into this as he tries to split the U.S. working class. Buy American campaigns operate on the assumption that if you buy a product made in the United States, then the company making the profit off that sale is going to reinvest in good union jobs in the United States. But that is very rarely the case. The companies didn't agree to that partnership. They have instead used these profits to lobby for free trade agreements that grease the skids for them to go overseas. People who might think they can separate out some sort of progressive version of Buy American will ultimately be unable to escape its sliding into Hire American or American First, and the notion that the United States shouldn't be concerned with the struggles of working-class people in other countries. Buy American campaigns became popular in the late 1970s as working people were trying to address capital flight and employers began turning on unions demanding concessions. Again, these campaigns had a very strong racist component. People thrashed Japanese cars, even ones that were made by union workers in Japan and Japanese cars made in the United States with union labor. This wasn't just the auto workers, but many manufacturing unions. The garment workers launched an anti-Asian Buy American campaign, but had to back away from it due to pressure from Asian American activists. Like people in the 1970s, people today want to return to the so-called golden age, when there were lots of jobs in heavy industry that were union, paid really well, and provided excellent benefits. They imagine that Buy American might help to bring all that back. The problem is that employers have long since turned on the labor movement and driven down working conditions so far that it is very hard to return to that world. The strategy being pursued by employers today is totally different from what unions faced in the 1950s and 60s when steelworkers and auto workers had these great jobs. I find it tragic that the U.S. labor movement would follow Trump into his trap. Already some labor leaders are saying, yes, let's build the Keystone XL pipeline using union products made in the USA. And then, of course, Trump exempted the Keystone Pipeline from his own Buy American pledge. Elite support for Buy American campaigns has almost always contained that kind of hypocrisy. We do have to figure out what alternative progressive trade policies look like. We need to be talking about a third path that puts labor rights and union protections first as part of a broader package that also addresses immigration, committed to raising working people's wages and working conditions all over the world. And as our very own old mole Bill Resnick observes, quote, the establishment media poses the trade struggle as between those who favor free trade as opposed to those who favor protectionism, and neglect to point out there is a third option, fair trade, where, unlike free trade's many rules and regulations that protect and enhance the power of multinational capital, fair trade protects workers and the environment in every country. I've been reading selections from Chris Brooks' interview with Dana Frank last May 2017. You can find the full interview and a link to her book, Buy American, The Untold Story of Economic Nationalism, at labornotes.org. I am Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour.